taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the American Journal. Third hour is on. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Stacey Montgomery. She's the president of Shepherd's Watch Foundation, a nonprofit organization that is the vision of several private investigators and victim advocates working together to combat sex trafficking. Their website is shepherdswatchfoundation.org. That's shepherdswatchfoundation.org. And another website to visit would be givebutter.com/SWF toolkit. Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Thank you so much for having me, Harrison. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being here. And of course, there's an article that lays out just some of what Shepherd Watch does. The title of it is Inside America's Fastest Criminal Enterprise, Sex Trafficking. And this is from the Free Press, thefp.com. Headline again, Inside America's Fastest Growing Criminal Enterprise, Sex Trafficking. It's sort of a harrowing read. Stacey, it's not something that you want to think about happening in the United States. Not only is it happening, the scale at which it's happening is mind-boggling. Just tell us what Shepherd's Watch does, how it got started, what its mission is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We're so grateful to the Free Press and Maddie Rowley for spending a couple of days with us and our lead investigator, Lisa. It's really done a lot for us and given us some exposure that we've needed. We were pretty much started and founded in the summer of 2020 in the height of COVID, of all things. Our lead investigator, she actually has been working sex trafficking since 2016, but we officially elected our board of directors and got started in the middle of 2020. We are primarily a group of licensed private investigators, and we are boots on the ground, and we assist law enforcement. We're just pretty much trying to help them because they're stretched so thin, and we're talking about all levels of law enforcement. And we target sex trafficking rings using our investigative intelligence toolkit to do that.
Yeah, and that term crops up in the article as well, stretched too thin. Law enforcement is stretched too thin. And it's one of those things where if we have plenty of resources. We could stop this. We could, if we dedicate time and effort and attention and resources towards stopping sex trafficking, it wouldn't be an issue. But when you're being pulled because of robberies, and this way because of murders, and this way because of the homeless crisis, it looks like sex trafficking sort of falls down the priority list and doesn't get the attention it deserves. Why isn't this a bigger priority for law enforcement? Why are they stretched so thin and not able to deal with this when it seems like such a horrific and pressing and growing problem?
Well, you hit some of it. I mean, we say stretched too thin, and that was even before the defund the police mantra started.
Right.
They're either called out to, a car wreck or a domestic violence case. You know, most agencies, and again, I want to impress on everybody that we love law enforcement. We're just trying to help.
Right.
They're called out on all different types of calls, and most of them have not been trained on how to identify a actual sex trafficking situation. And a lot of them will see it as, maybe just prostitution.
Right.
So we're trying to change that. As I mentioned, our focus is using our investigative, intelligence to target, large sex trafficking rings. But we also do provide an education and awareness to the public.
Right. I guess that was my question. Is it because these crimes are more, I don't want to say ambiguous, but it's like, if you have a murder, it's like there's a dead body. Let's figure out who killed him. If you have a crime, if you have somebody breaking into a house, it's like there's a time frame. OK, we got to get now. There's a criminal doing something. We got to go stop it. With this is it's like, well, there's ads on the Internet and some of these girls might be legit, might not. They might be trafficked or they might be doing this voluntarily. Is it because it's kind of vague? And how do you guys deal with that? How do you know who is a victim and who is doing this willingly or where how do you identify where trafficking is an issue versus, something maybe that wouldn't be moral but isn't criminal? Is that one of the issues you guys come up against, and how do you deal with it?
Yes. I mean, like I said, public, the public is, a lot of the public thinks it's a conspiracy theory. It's getting better, but that's why we offer, education and awareness. And I go out and do a gazillion presentations to just about anybody. We don't want to give away the tools that we use to identify if it's actual just straight prostitution, which we don't go after that. If somebody's doing you know, going out and prostituting themselves and they're not being coerced or forced, you know, we don't have any interest in that. We are going after sex traffickers that are actually forcing victims to do commercial sex acts for profit. And, you know, it's kind of hidden in plain sight. And like you said, the ads, you just never know. So we use our, you know, our software and our boots on the ground and our, you know, our investigators that are trained to identify certain situations. But, you know, this is why we're trying to train the public, too, because it's done right underneath our noses. It's being done, you know, in mansions behind, you know, gated communities. Right. It's Airbnbs, hotels, you know, trailer parks. It's everything, you know, that you can imagine. So it's very difficult. And that's what we're trying to do is try to do the hard work on the front end and hand everything over to law enforcement. It's up to them to, you know, we don't kick down doors. We're not those heroes that go and kick down doors. We're doing the front end of the work, gathering all the intelligence and handing it over to law enforcement.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you say this is happening right under our noses. I've one quote that's always stuck with me interviewing pedophile hunters, which is not what you guys do, but maybe there's some similarities there. They're not law enforcement, but they assist law enforcement. But one thing Alex Rosen said to me was, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when your child gets approached on the internet. And he'll talk about making a profile, you know, a bait profile, basically. And within 5 minutes, there's 10 different guys, you know, trying to lure this supposedly young girl. And it's shocking how prevalent this is. And this seems somewhat similar. The amount of people, you talk about tracking ads, 12,000 ads a week. 12,000 ads for women just in Houston, 2,600 in San Antonio, 3,500 in Austin, 14,000 in Dallas. I mean, these numbers are huge. You want to talk, you know, people think it's a conspiracy. This is an industry. It's unimaginable how big this problem is. How is it so why is there not more attention paid to it or more knowledge about this?
Well, like, so those are sex ads. So we have to take a look at them to see if they are possible trafficking. And like I said, you know, most law enforcement, it's getting better. They are going through training, but they have not been trained on how to identify and think about the staffing, the amount of staff you would need to monitor those ads. And very few groups and most of law enforcement does not have the, you know, the technology that we have.
But is it, you know, identify. It is one of those things where we always talk about where they've got the AI that can, if you try to post a video of Alex Jones, it gets taken down within 2 minutes.
Right.
Are they just not putting the resources towards this? Like they have higher priorities, so they just aren't looking for this stuff? Or are the criminals sophisticated and able to get around any monitoring stuff? Like I'm against censorship or surveillance in general. I'd be a little bit more amenable to it if it was actually stopping stuff like this, but they never seem to try to stop stuff like this. Are they not trying? Are they not able? What's the issue there, do you think, with law enforcement?
Again, law enforcement, they do the best they can, and we're just here to help them. We love law enforcement, and the majority of them want to work with us, and they're very appreciative of the tools that we're able to provide to them. It's just a staffing issue and a budget issue in most areas. And that was before defund the police. So we're trying to help them, and hopefully we'll get to a better place with budgeting and training for law enforcement. But again, you know, they do a great job. They do a great job, especially here locally for us. So I want to make sure I impress that upon everybody.
Right.
But like I said, it's even before the defund the police, it was just very difficult because they're just very limited in staff.
Right. And there's so much going on. And, you know, it was before defund the police and it was before the border was open. I want to read a paragraph from this article because it really drives home how the border opening changed this. So, again, this is from the Free Press article. It says, the author says, I asked her if the sex trafficking of migrant girls had increased since the Biden administration threw open the border, leading to 8 million migrants crossing the southern border since 2021. Yes, she says, nearly all of my sex trafficking rings now are migrant girls. The ads exploded within the first 3 months of the border being open. We started noticing new sites and ads in Spanish. That was there were very few before. The sites dedicated to Latino girls popped up everywhere. Since the border opened, Lisa added, over 90% of the ads are for migrant girls. So how much has the migrant crisis played in to the sex trafficking issues we have in this country?
Well, you just said it. I mean, it's more than tripled what we're seeing, and over 90% are migrant girls. So it's, you know, we are so busy trying to keep up with all of it. It's, you know, we're hoping that we can get the border closed at some point. It's just, I just don't have any words. It's just horrific.
It is. It's beyond horrific. And obviously, if you're just joining us, Stacey Montgomery is my guest. The organization is called Shepherd's Watch Foundation. You can go to shepherdswatchfoundation.org or givebutter.com/SWF for Shepherd's Watch Foundation, SWF Toolkit. What is the toolkit? Are you asking for people to help or just contribute? How can our audience who, you know, if there's one thing that activates and galvanizes our audience more than anything else, it's the abuse of children and you know, the idea of sex trafficking, especially because it gets so little attention from the mainstream media. Sort of the response to that is outsized. So what can people do? How can they help you in this or just in their own lives, maybe be on the lookout if they see trafficking happening? You know, what should they be looking for? Do you have a call to action to people in terms of what they can do to fight this menace?
Sure. You know, of course, we're a nonprofit. We need funding, you know, to help us with our investigative intelligence toolkit. The technology and our intel team, that's where pretty much all of our money goes. We scrape up with donations because they're the ones that, you know, are boots on the ground and run the software to help us target these sex trafficking rings. But the public, there's indicators that you can look for. I don't know if you have that slide that we can look at, but, you know, a lot of the victims are branded. They might have a barcode branded on the back of their neck.
Whoa.
Many of them may have the gang logo or, you know, the tattoo on them, you know, claiming them as their property. They could have the pimps or traffickers' name tattooed.